like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, we'll sidestep and do a little NFL news here on this Tuesday afternoon. 2 months after requesting a trade, former Eaton Red Chargers running back Austin Eckler will remain in Los Angeles for the final season of his contract with $1.75 million in incentives added to his deal, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. He's already 28 years old. He just turned 28. Has he been in the league that long? He was scheduled to earn about $6.2 million in the fourth and final season of a $24.5 million extension. He remains bound for free agency after the season. Well, then he'd be 29 when he hits free agency. So really great, solid running back. And I know the Chargers got to be thrilled that at least they could figure something out. Well, they're just not going to trade him, but he's going to try to lock in for one more year. And then he's got to put up some big numbers if he wants to get, again, Angel, contracts for running backs. Even if Eckler goes on and has a phenomenal year, you paying him big money at 29, knowing that the history of running backs is, well, you probably got a year or two of decent dominance. But maybe not. We can't really bank on that. 28, 29, 30. That's life expectancy as far as running back playing in the NFL is certainly not what it used to be. 30 used to be like you could almost set your watch by it. Nowadays, I don't know. Not sure.
Sorry, I was just saying shelf life instead of life expectancy.
You were what?
I would substitute that with shelf life.
Oh, okay.
Not life expectancy.
Well, I've heard life expectancy. Read some articles, bro. Do some reading.
Oh, I know the science.
The average life expectancy of an NFL player life is 4 to 6 years. There was an article that came out in Sports Illustrated. That was the title of it. This is what it is.
It sounds dramatic.
It's sports, Angel. That's what we're talking about here. Fair catches on NFL kickoffs to now be spotted at the 25-yard line. Now, NFL owners coming together for one more step at least, trying to decrease injuries on kickoffs before considering a more dramatic set of changes like doing away with kickoff. Well, they're going to try this one. It'll incentivize fair catches on balls fielded outside of the end zone. Fair catch on a kickoff will be placed at the 25-yard line regardless of where it's fielded.
Why are we kicking
the ball? Do we even do it anymore? I mean, I don't like that response. I want to have kickoffs, but you just keep changing it to the point where it's literally just, let's kick the ball down there. They catch it.
Like
they fair catch it.
Best kickoff innovation I've seen is what the XFL did with their, you know, still doing a kickoff, but the teams are closer together when they kick off. It's just, what do? You just fair catch it every time or just let it go? It's 25 either way. Just start it there.
Yeah. I don't know. They're going to end up just moving it. They're going to end up just getting rid of it.
Is that why McManus got cut?
Yeah, we don't need you anymore. Other than kicking field goals, and we're going to be scoring so many touchdowns, it ain't going
to
matter.
You just need a kicker that can get it to the 25-yard line.
Mm-hmm. That's all you need. LeBron James, is he done? He did say he's going to consider it this year. He was asked by a reporter because LeBron said, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to think. I got a lot of stuff to think about. The reporter followed up and said, when you say you got a lot to think about and you got to think about stuff, what thread should we be pulling on that? He said, if I want to continue to play. As in next year, the reporter asked, and he said, yeah. Reporter followed up, you would walk away. He said, I got to think about it. Would he? The whole goal for him now is to play with his son. Bronny goes to USC next season. If he's that good, he'll probably be a one-and-done guy. Does LeBron James consider taking a year off and then figuring out how to get on whatever team Bronny James goes to.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard that quote a lot with LeBron. That's, you know, they asked him, what's one more thing you want to do? He says being on the court with his son, whether that's a coach or a player, whichever. I know he just wants to be on the same floor, whether it's the same uniform or not, with his son Bronny. And, you know, I could see that. You know, thinking about LeBron the last few years, he hasn't played a full season in a while. So you can already tell his body is not breaking down, but it's not recovering as fast as it used to. So I could see him stepping away for a bit. Maybe he takes some kind of front office position somewhere and kind of just waits around to try to influence a team to take Bronny. But then this all depends on if Bronny pans out in college.
That's the thing. He's got to have a good enough year.
If he takes 2 years to get out of college,
then yeah, you're not
going to see it happen.
I'm just looking at it going, man, LeBron, you're 38. You'll be 39 heading into your 23-24 season, which you are under contract. He has a player option after that.
Is LeBron the type of guy that would take off for 2 years and sign a one-day deal just to be on the court with his son?
No.
Just for that spectacle?
I think he'd want to do the season. Like
he's not going to play a full season.
No, he would pepper that in throughout the year.
Are we assuming Bronny's going to start?
That's the thing. There's a lot of variables. He's close, but you'd also hate to say, oh, I'm going to hang it up a year before he gets there, and then Bronny does go out and play, and then you're going to try to suit up. It's probably not going to happen,
in
man.
In terms of a media standpoint, the NBA is not going to let him just walk away. You know, we have to do the farewell tour, and every home or every road arena is going to put a video together for him like they did with Kobe. So, yeah, the NBA will make this the big LeBron's final year spectacle.
If you're the Lakers, do you stay this course? You got him for one more year. Do you trade him to a team that feels like they're a, what is LeBron, a top 10? Is he top 10 in the league still? Or did he fade after that? Is he top 10? Okay, so a team that would, like a Portland Trailblazers, I don't know. I'm just throwing out
teams.
That's
Dame's team. You're going to have
LeBron still a LeBron's team kind of guy?
I think so.
Or does he need to go be a two guy somewhere?
He carries that power that when you see him on the floor standing by himself and direct, whether he's just standing there or directing plays, they're listening to LeBron. When he's on the bench screaming at them, they're listening to him.
But do you see the Lakers trading him? You got one more year. They're not going to win a championship the way it's currently constructed. They've got a lot of work. They had qualms about benching D'Angelo Russell because they want to keep him next year, and they didn't want to piss him off. That was a report in ESPN, was that the concern, that they know they should bench him, but the concern is that would really hamper their efforts as far as getting him to come back next season.
Why would you want him?
Don't know.
You want to give him a third try with this team?
Well, what's their salary cap situation look like? They're paying LeBron $47 million next year. They're probably paying Anthony Davis similar to that. They have two Nikola Jokic contracts with only two guys that are not quite Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. Do they fire Darvin Ham? This was his first year. He got swept. Now, they did make a nice push. What pieces are you missing? The bench isn't great. Your point guard situation isn't great. You love Anthony Davis. You love what you got with LeBron, but now you got to go get a point guard, and good luck getting one that's that good and upper echelon with those two monster contracts that you're handing out to LeBron and Anthony Davis. Strange situation. LeBron James, though, I do respect him. I respect his game. I respect how he's done things the right way. Here's LeBron on Nikola Jokic at the end of the game last night.
What, if anything, did Joker prove to you during the series?
Nothing. I know how great he is. I know how great Joker is. Certain guys in this league that play the game a certain way that I like to play the game as well, and he's one of them. Where you are always off balance when you're guarding a player like that because his ability to score, rebound, shoot. He sees plays before they happen. There's not many guys in our league like that. So you already knew you was going against a beast once the series started. And not only just about his game, everybody gets cracked up into his stats. but I don't think a lot of people talk about like this part of his game. Well, maybe it's not talked about because a lot of people don't understand it.
He's pointing to his head. They don't talk about that part of the game. His brain, his basketball IQ. I thought that was really well done from LeBron. I appreciate that. But again, I do. 38 years old, and you're still playing. You still have a chance to tie the game, send your team to overtime, and at least stretch this thing out. All right, 16 minutes after the hour. I don't know what we're going to talk to Mike about. Well, we're going to talk about something. Mike Brohard is going to join us from CSURams.com. Always look forward to catching up with him. Let's take a quick break first. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Joining me now from CSURams.com, our Rams insider, Mike Brohard. Mike, my man, what's on your mind, dude? There's so many cool things going on in the state. What's on your mind?
There's a lot of fun stuff going on. I mean, it's like me being centered at CSU for the time being. It's like men's golf getting ready to go play at the NCAA tournament for the first time, the NCAA championships for the first time in 12 years. So that's cool. You got the track team at West Prelims. Some of them, you know, are going to qualify for the NCAAs. So that's good. It's waiting for football season to start. It's taking some vacation. It's kids graduating, like my kid graduating from college.
Oh, congratulations.
There's a bunch of stuff going on. Yeah, I had nothing to do with that. We all know that.
So. You weren't helping with any projects or any schoolwork or anything like that, Mike?
You know, like the funny thing is she writes a lot. She's an English major.
Oh, well, there you go.
An emphasis in education, and she never lets me read anything she's written because she's afraid I'm going to edit it.
How tempting is that to not just like really force the issue here? I got to see your stuff here because you know a thing or two about writing.
One thing, maybe, but that's why she doesn't want me to read any of it. So. It's fine. I mean, obviously, you know, she's been on the dean's list, so she's obviously doing something.
Wow, right. That's fantastic, man.
I think it's her nice way of saying, Dad, I do not need your help.
Well, good for her. That's awesome. Well, congratulations to her. You mentioned football season, waiting for that. Well, got, you know, season mini plan, single game tickets going on sale. I can't wait for the day where that stadium really meets its potential, because that is such a special place. Canvas Stadium is so cool. It's one of the gems in our corner of the state in Northern Colorado. And if you can put a really solid team out there on a consistent basis, that place could become something very special.
Yeah, I think that stadium has been everything that Tony Frank wanted it to be. I've talked to a bunch of people who used to go to football games that were alumni that had never been back on campus. They would go out to Hughes, and Hughes, of course, was a couple miles away, so they would never venture back onto campus. Now you've got people coming back to campus. They're bringing their kids. You're telling them that's where, you know, that's the dorm I lived in. This is where I took my classes. It's really brought a sense of community for our alumni, which was a lot of the intention of having an on-campus stadium. You want people on campus to see the changes that are going on and how beautiful this campus is. And those of us that have been on this campus over the years for the past two decades have seen all the changes that have taken place and just how nice this place looks. And so you want your alumni to see that. And you want their kids to see it. And maybe you start bringing in legacy kids, and it helps with enrollment and it helps with interest in the university as a whole. So from that standpoint, the stadium has done everything you want. Now the football team, they start winning and you start packing that place on a regular basis, then it's just, that's a cherry on top of the sundae, isn't it? You know, you bring in that many more people on a game day weekend.
Well, yeah, and you know, I love the news, too, of the state football championships. What is it, Mike? Yeah. It's going to be, what, 3A through 5A right now? Is that the plan?
Yep, that's the plan, and you know, that's great. It's another showpiece. You know, it's another showcase event for that venue. And I don't know if a lot of people understand just how many events happen at that place all the time. There are so many events that are non-football related that take place at Canvas Stadium. You have weddings. Like, I think most every school in Fort Collins, they hold their prom there. You have businesses holding their executive meetings here, having seminars. Everything takes place at Canvas Stadium. It's a great venue for a lot of different things. So they're getting full use out of it. I think the last step will be, you know, really like having a concert there. I think, you know, Drums Along the Rockies was there last year. But eventually at some point in time, it's not going to be a surprise to see a concert held there.
Yeah, and Mike, why hasn't that happened just yet? Is the logistics of it aren't ready just yet, or is it just something that maybe the powers that be haven't put a lot of focus on as far as getting a lot of concerts out there?
Well, there was a moratorium put on concerts being played when the stadium was built with the surrounding neighborhood in terms of noise and things like that. So I believe that moratorium was at least 5 years. So we've hit that point now. Now it's also just a point of everything else that takes place at the stadium. And what groups or what acts would be on tour during the summer months? Because really you're limited for a couple of months because football is going to be very active in there, obviously, for a lot of the summer. You've got school activities taking place through May. It's a short window. It's a really small window when you can have concerts in there. And it's, you know, like Taylor Swift's not going to play at Canvas Stadium, obviously. So, you've got to find the right act that's looking for a venue that's, you know, 40-some thousand people of what they want to, you know, hold for a concert.
Yeah, well, that would be, I think that'd be a great place to go watch some live music, no question about it. And building that stadium up more and more, if people get in there, that's why I love the state football idea, is that you're going to get a lot of families throughout the state of Colorado that are going to be in there. Maybe they'd never gone before. They go in, they see it. You get some of the best. I mean, if it's a state championship weekend, you're getting some of the best players in the state where they look around and go, this would be a really fun place to play. So there's just so many positives that come with that, with growing the popularity around Canvas Stadium.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The more you can show off a place like that, the better off you are.
Mike, when do you start? Do you make predictions? Do you make season predictions? When do you start doing that for football?
Do I make like hard predictions? No, I never do because the Mountain West is nutso, and you never really know what's going to happen in that. But yeah, when I start looking at, do I think what's the issues football team? I think that's where this conversation you're leading me to.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, just in general, I see a bowl season being realistic.
Yeah.
So that's at least 6 wins. That's becoming bowl eligible. It's the step that has to be taken next, right? It would be wonderful if you could pull off a San Jose State type thing. You know, they went from nothing and they win the league. Utah State, you know, they did it a couple years ago, went from, you know, last to first. Yeah, those are things that you're looking for. But, you know, first step, I don't think it's out of – it's not unrealistic to expect a bowl game out of this team.
Yeah, I don't think so either, Mike. And for our listeners, talk to us about that. You know, when we're looking at what they were compared to last year, can you basically say, hey, I think they're going to improve to the point where they can win 6 games, mainly because, let's look at the offensive line. We think the defense is going to be good again, but they had to fix the offensive line. That was the source of a lot of issues offensively. That right there might be enough to gain some confidence for a lot of those fans to think, okay, I can see that being a big enough fix where we were able to get at least 6 wins on the season.
Yeah, I think you and I have talked about this before. You start with the offensive line, and can they protect, because they gave up 55 sacks to lead the nation last year. You can't do that again. So you also look at the fact that this group believes that one of the strengths on defense, which is returning almost intact, is the defensive line. Well, if the defensive line is really good and you're trying to rebuild your offensive line, and the offensive line that you rebuilt in a short amount of time in spring was protecting the quarterback during scrimmages, that's a good place to start. And you go back to the year before and they weren't protecting them in scrimmages. So that's a positive sign, right? So it's not just that, but that's just the people that were here. You recently added another kid with experience from Missouri. You're still going to get Brian Creswell back because he wasn't, you know, out there for the spring. You've got other pieces that can still improve that offensive line, not just the starting five, but the depth, because you know there's going to be injuries at certain time at some positions during the year. So you want depth. So, yeah, that's where you start, and I think that's where you gain confidence. You cut those sacks in half, you're really working with something then.
Well, and Clay Millen showed us a lot of really, you know, he showed us, I mean, maybe a lot of people knew this, but he's a heck of an athlete. He can move around. He can take off and run if he needs to. He had to do a lot of that last season, but he's got a cannon. That kind of guy, I think, has potential to be one of those big-time Rams quarterbacks that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think you definitely like his arm talent. He can make throws that he has to. He throws a really nice deep ball. Now, the other part of this equation that you have to remember, he was playing as a redshirt freshman. It was his first season as a starter. There were a lot of things he did not know. And early on in the season, he learned them against some pretty good defenses, you know, Michigan, Washington State. Those are good defenses, and you're jumping out. So you're looking at him making faster decisions. And he did even talk about it after he got hurt, because you look at the fact, the play that he got hurt on was a play that he never should have been hurt on, because he should have gotten the ball. It should have been thrown away within 2 seconds. It was explained to me. It was basically a one pattern, one read thing. It wasn't there, throw it away. He didn't try to make something happen, i.e. young quarterback, and it didn't go well. It ended up with him with an injured shoulder, him watching for a couple weeks. But he at that time said the game slowed down for him. He got to see some things from the sideline that helped him understand it a little bit better. So he comes back as a redshirt sophomore. He's got that experience under his belt. You know he's got a high completion percentage. And technically, I would expect that to go down a bit, because he's going to know to throw the ball away a little bit more, and he'll be able to save it for, you know, better plays, big plays when he needs to make them, because he'll be in the lineup. So that's the next big thing for me is, what did he learn from last year, and how does he use that to elevate his game and, in turn, the offense?
Yeah, a big leap is needed for Clay, for sure. And I'm excited to see that next season and with this offensive line.
Here's two other things. So you talked about the offensive line being better. That helps him. Okay, so you already knew you had Torrey Horton, but last year they didn't have a pass receiving threat as a tight end, which is important in this offense. You've seen it in the past at what they did at Nevada with Cole Turner. Now you're bringing it down on Holker. They're really excited about him. You have another year of growth for like a Lewis Brown and a Justice Ross Simmons. That gives him another target on the outside. You bring in a Vince Brown, who's a big target behind Dallin Holker. You've got Jordan Williams. You know, he's developing behind them at the tight end position. You're going to bring in some other wideouts. There's going to be more weapons, too, as his offense continues to develop.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about that, too. You have more weapons, better offensive line, and probably just a more mature quarterback with Clay Millen. So I'm excited about that. Mike, my friend, always appreciate you. I'm going to throw you a curveball here. What do you think about the future of Isaiah Stevens?
I think that Isaiah Stevens is taking his due diligence and making this decision for the next step of his career. And I wish him all the peace in the world when it comes time to make that choice, which I think is actually kind of drawing near for him. So,
well, hadn't had a chance to ask you about that one in a while.
No, at least not for a week.
Yeah.
At least not for a week. And then, but you've been distracted with the Nuggets sweeping.
I was a little starry-eyed last night. That was a fun time. That was great.
Starry-eyed, or were those tears?
Both. Both. Yeah. I mean, it's just a fun time. You know, I tweeted about this, Mike, last night. I'm a fan of sports throughout the state. I've always been a fan. But when I was realizing that, you know, I was understanding sports a little bit more, the Nuggets were bad. I just liked them because my dad did. My brother did. So we would have fun watching them. But they were awful. When I was kind of like, the Broncos were good when I was getting into things. The Rockies were new. The Avs were new and good. The Nuggets were just bad. And so when you really followed that from when I started with the Nuggets in the 90s, mid-90s, to now, it's just magic, man. Sports can be so much fun, especially when you do follow those teams for so long and you want to see them kind of achieve some kind of greatness. And the Nuggets really haven't got to that peak yet, and here they are. They have a chance.
No, I mean, it's awesome. If you sit there and you think about it, you know, the Avs won the Cup last year. You have the possibility of the Nuggets winning the NBA title this year. That's pretty good accomplishment for Denver as a sports city. if only baseball was actually played here at a high level.
It would be nice. Yes, it would be nice if the Rockies could give us some hope.
But they have gone to the World Series. You got to give them that.
I mean, a magical season. You're right. They absolutely did. They'd, until last night, they'd made it further than the Nuggets. So that was the truth. It was a wacky season, but it's a lot of fun. Now let's get the Rams there. You know, last year, you know, or 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago, whatever, CSU men's basketball was phenomenal. The women's basketball team, we'll see what this football team does. And we could just be spoiled up here for a while. That'd be okay.
That would be kind of nice. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah, that'd be great, my friend.
12-team CFP this year. Come on.
Let's do it. Let's go. Yeah. Championships galore. I absolutely love it. Mike, when that vacation hits, before or after, you know, it's beer time. So let me know.
Sounds good.
All right, man.
Or how about before and after?
Okay. That sounds even better. Even better. Bonus. Okay. Bonus time. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. And I haven't plugged in. He's right. I've been very Nuggets-centric here on the program as of late. And why not? You're in uncharted territory. But this for CSU, I'll be really excited when we get closer and closer to football season, because there's a lot of questions. You know, defensively, can they be as dominant? Nah, I don't know if they were dominant, but they were good. Can they be as good as they were last year? Can Clay Millen take that step? How much will they miss a guy like Avery Morrow, who, other than Torrey Horton, was their offense? Assuming they're going to miss Avery Morrow, that he's not coming back next year because of the legal situation surrounding him. Yeah, and Clay taking that next step with what appears to be a lot of weapons surrounding him. 36 minutes after the hour, we're going to jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFK.
It's a brand new day for Nuggets fans, Nuggets history. You finally get to, I was just going to go over some stuff we were preparing for the show today. And, you know, if you just look up the seasons and you want to go season by season and check it out, the records over the years, it's finally highlighted that they have a Western Conference Finals victory. I mean, it's just, it's finally there. That's always been the piece missing. When Tanner and I argue, and we love to argue, he's obsessed with the Rockies. He just likes badness. He's into that kind of thing. He doesn't really appreciate greatness. We argue about who the greater franchise is, and the one point he can make, which isn't a great point, but the one he can make, is that, well, the Rockies have gone further than the Nuggets. They have gone to a championship. They have gone to the World Series. Well, now the Nuggets have that, too. Without even winning it, they've gone. They're going. Punch the ticket. So, debate over.
So obviously this is historic for the Nuggets as an organization. For us as fans, we've never been here before. So as a sports person, how much do you really celebrate winning the Western Conference Finals when the team, when the coach says this isn't their ultimate goal, we still have four more games we have to win? Yeah, we have 9 days off in between that. So how do you balance that celebration with, hey, we're not done yet?
Yeah, that's tough because it would be a major letdown at this stage to lose the finals. It would wash away a lot of this magical run. It really would. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, the Nuggets would still have their lone trip to the finals. They completed some history this year. But that's not really from what you hear from Michael Malone and the players and the fans, it's not what you're expecting. I'll tell you right now, if the playoffs would have gone the way in the Eastern Conference that a lot of people predicted, and it was either Boston dominating or Milwaukee, I think you'd be like, this is going to be a dogfight. I think if you just looked at it from when the playoffs started to now, you would have said, yeah, one of those two teams will probably end up there. Now you look at it and you go, okay, well, if Boston gets in, they've shown that they're human. Miami was an 8 seed, and they've been on a hell of a run, but I think you like your odds right now. So I think you can have fun with this. You got 9 days, but this is the win. I mean, your window's open for maybe a dynasty, but guaranteed one. Your window is open, wide open. So I think that there's a lot of pressure in this. It's hard to celebrate. Yeah, you can enjoy it today, but because you got to celebrate your victories in sports.
Yeah, like, see, I'm having a tough time with it today because I obviously last night I was super pumped, excited, you know, going through social media, texting friends, how excited it was. But, you know, for me in my sports fandom, I've been used because of Coach Saban, you know, 48 hours and you turn it over to the new season. Obviously, this is different because you have another series to play and you are Western Conference champions. You're not taking away the championship, but it's you worry about getting yourself too hyped up and too excited that, yeah, we finally did it, but remembering that this isn't the ultimate goal.
No, and then I had people mentioning that too last night, and hey, is this going to be too long of a layoff? I've learned a lot about this Nuggets team, and a team that 2 months ago I might have said, yeah, if they get into a situation where they're going to have 9 days off and all that, yeah, that could impact. But this Nuggets team has proven even me wrong in some fashions, because, yeah, I predicted them to win a title to start the season. I wasn't on board 100% with how Michael Malone handled the end of the year. I wasn't on board with Joker just kind of coasting and not pushing for the MVP. I worried about this team overlooking opponents, whether that being an inferior opponent or an opponent that you had on the ropes. I worried about that. But after seeing what they did in the final two games against Phoenix, and then, of course, this entire series and the closeout game last night, I trust this team. And so now I expect this team to win it all, and it would be a major letdown if they do not win a title.
I think you can see as this playoff run has gone on, you can see in each series the Nuggets have mastered a new trait in their skill set. You know, with the Timberwolves, that was, hey, you need to go out and just dominate this team. They are not as good as you. They're not even in the same level, like playing field. You need to go out and dominate them, and they did it in five games. And then you get the Phoenix series, and it's, hey, these guys are an offensive juggernaut. You have one of the best offenses in the league. You're going to be able to keep score with them. Can you defend them the way you need to win these games? And they did that.
Yeah.
Lakers series, back and forth again for the first part, but the key moment in all four of these games, fourth quarter effort.
Yeah, whether that's a guy like Jamal or Joker going off, or defensively you're coming up with the necessary stops. I mean, they were making Lakers offensive players feel them defensively. Even Joker playing with five fouls, he had to pull back on his defense late, but I thought he was still smart about how he did it.
Well, the whole team adapted to that, because you saw LeBron was bringing the ball up and he's wanting Jokic, and Jokic wouldn't go up to the three-point line. He would just wait. And when LeBron starts to drive, the double team came in immediately.
Absorb any chance of Joker getting a foul call.
Right.
Even on that final play with LeBron, if LeBron gets that ball up in the air and it goes in, you're going to overtime, and Joker could have picked up a foul right there, or you win the game with an and one. So very smart in how they did this. Okay, we're going to have Joker there as a free agent or as a free safety. It's going to be Aaron Gordon that's facing him head on. And Jamal, you're going to come around and try to get that double and go for the basketball. I don't know if that was the plan, but Jamal did it. And that saved any chance of Joker picking up a foul for an and one. Because even if you send him to the free throw line, he makes both, Joker's gone if he makes that foul. So that was a very smart play by this team. And that just, again, goes to show you Michael Malone, how good of a coach he's been. He's grown. He's grown into a really good coach. He went from a good coach that can get your team into the playoffs and help mold some players to, oh, this guy might be one of the big names now.
Well, the guys that bought in, is guys like MPJ and Aaron Gordon, who, you know, could have been pegged as potential superstars on this team, they bought into their roles as, you know, role players. Michael, you know, he has been so good in this series. On both sides of the floor, he's not putting up insane points, but he's making clutch shots.
Big plays and
big moments. Big plays. He's getting, he had almost 10 rebounds last night, 6 assists in game 3. He's becoming a well-rounded player, and it's the perfect player you need for this team to be complete.
It's fun to see it with Porter, because it's like he's becoming a well-rounded player where I think he's creating a base for himself as far as being that complete player. Then he figures out all these things that I can do. Now you can really start ramping up your offense next season.
Well, 2 years ago, if Michael had started 0-for-4 like he did yesterday, he goes away.
Yep.
Last night, he says, nope, all right, I'm not making my shot. I'm going to keep shooting it, but I'm going to go get rebounds. I'm going to get assists. I'm going to D up.
He's
doing the extra stuff.
He's done that all series. And again, he's not blowing anybody away. He's been steady the whole time. Jamal Murray, great redemption story there. He's been good. I tweeted this, though. There's no debate. My poll question yesterday, Angel, was through three games, thanks to Tight Knit Brewing, our poll question, through three games, who's been the best player? And I said Nikola Jokic, and it's not even close. And a lot of people are like, no, it's Murray. I said,
I would have said Murray.
It's just been the Murray flurry on steroids. You haven't seen him just consistently pepper you and jab, 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 jab. Jamal will come in and go bam, 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 bam in a 7-minute span, and then it's like, oh, where did Jamal go? Joker doesn't do that. He's going to throughout the game pick as little spots to go off on you.
I would describe it as Jokic is throwing out the body shots, you know, the tough, you know, inside the gloves, just working the body, and Jamal comes in with a right hook or an uppercut that you don't see coming, and his effort in these games is what demoralized the Lakers. It was seeing Jamal spot up from three and shoot.
So would
out
you
of his
have
mind.
Given him the MVP
of this series?
Yeah.
Before last night, yes. Last night changed it for me.
Yeah, see, and I just...
But what Jamal did in the first half of game three was... That showed me, all right, this guy he's locked in right now.
I just look at those triple-doubles by Joker, who just passed Wilt Chamberlain for the most triple-doubles in a playoff run. Another record for him. Every night, it's a different record. You said something that struck me, and not in a bad way. You just said the national media doesn't focus on a lot of... Every night, he's breaking a record. And I was almost like in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, I can't keep it straight. It's like... It doesn't fall on deaf ears, but it's like white noise now. Every night, Joker breaks a record, and you're like, that's fine.
Third all-time playoff triple-doubles.
It's nuts.
All-time, most playoff triple-doubles in a run. Third all-time, or it's like top five all-time in triple-doubles. He leads in like seven different Nuggets categories for franchise leaders. He is the Denver Nuggets.
He will easily go down as the best player in their history. 12:50 the time. I'm going to have Jerry Schimmel on, who's the voice of the Rockies, also the UNC Bears. I'm going to have him on. He was the voice of the Nuggets for a time and has a great history with them and George Karl. And so I kind of wanted to get his perspective on this as well. We did reach out to Chris Dempsey today. He was up late. I mean, they were hitting the post game. So we'll talk to him hopefully tomorrow. We did put out a request to get Calvin Booth on. And Angel, just so the hooligans know I tried, I did put a request out to get Michael Malone on. Ryan Bowen, Coach Popeye Jones. We're putting the list together. All we can do is ask. We were supposed to get Calvin Booth on before the Bones Highland trade. And it never came to fruition, so we know that's still a possibility.
No Nikola?
I can sure try. I've never heard him on altitude.
Just
so
beg.
How do you get Nikola Jokic on radio? I've never heard him on radio. I don't know that other than being at Media Day when people are there.
I mean,
and they
it doesn't
talk to
even
him.
Need to be an interview. Can you just hold the phone up to Nikola and just say, hey, you're listening to KFK or whatever.
Just say the thing, man. Just say the thing.
Let's go Nuggets.
Ugh. Wouldn't that be something? 12:52, it's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Don't stop believing.
Like Chris says, maybe have Joker do a teaser. Whenever I'm in Greeley, I tune in to the Brady Hull Show. Yeah, or Fort Collins, or online anywhere. He could listen to us in Serbia. You know, he could, because you could listen online. That's all over the place. That's global. Maybe even universal. Don't
put
know how.
In the horse stables.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Let the championship horses hear the whole show.
It'd be amazing. Let's make it happen. Hooligans, if enough of us get after it, we can make anything happen.
Get at Jokic on social. Oh, wait. He's not on social media.
Not since 2011.
Pickup basketball game?
Anybody for a pickup? What an awesome thing. That's just a kid. Anybody want to go out and play pickup basketball?
It's difficult to get a pickup game.
Nobody wants to play a pickup game with him.
I do.
If you and I were, but
I want an assist from Jokic
against him, though.
Oh.
It's you and me and Joker and anybody else.
Jokic would probably beat us by himself.
There's, I think
he would make a pass to himself, get a rebound, and an assist.
Do you think, we got it, first 1 to 10, Joker versus you and I.
Oh.
Could we get to 10?
I feel like we could get one backdoor pass before he figures it out and just starts kicking the leg out.
Could we score a basket?
I think if you set the screen on him,
yeah.
I'll roll, and then I'll hit you with the underneath.
Make me set the screen and die. Yeah.
Well, you're bigger. You got to hold the trick is to get the ball from me to you because you're going to be under the paint.
He's going to kill me as soon as you give me the ball. I'm like, yo, Angel, here, take it. I don't want it.
Here, Mr. Jokic.
I have a fun text from Smitty I'll read on the other side. This just might win it. This just might win the $30 worth of Cable's gift cards, tickets. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Jerry Schimmel, the great Jerry Schimmel, coming up next. Don't go anywhere.